Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Started the show today, and again, you can catch anything you might have missed on demand. Brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Not only at 105.7 FM, thefan.com, but also theradio.com app. Favorite The Fan on there. And you just scroll down, you'll see the podcast for Chuck and Winkler. Should be one of the first shows that pop up, and you can listen to anything you might have missed. We talked extensively about some of the issues we feel are facing this mess of a first place team, and so you can catch up on that. You can also stay right here as we talk to Adam McAlvey. And Chuck, to address everything that we need to address, I think we'll just talk to Adam for the next 2 hours. I mean, Adam, do you have 2 hours to get this all in? Because there's a lot that we've got questions about.
Yeah, Adam, I feel like, you know, there's so many things. We feel like there's so many things going on with the Brewers, so many issues. They're in first place. But is there as many things going on with the Brewers like we think there is? I mean, issues bullpen, there's starting rotation, guys not hitting their weight again. I mean, you know, they lost again last night 2-0. Is there a lot of things going on there?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's things that definitely could be better, but I think that the weird thing about it is they're in first place. You know, and it's not like they're in first place in a terrible division. They're in first place in, what, 8 games over. So, I don't know. It's a weird team, and we were talking about this the other day, that it does feel like there's holes, I think, particularly in the pitching staff. You know, I think the offensive holes that they have, they've covered, because offensively they've been scoring runs, and they've got some guys going really well, Yelich, Moustakas, that are sort of making it that in the big picture the offense is doing okay. The pitching staff though does feel problematic. But then look, the bottom line is they're 8 games over, and they've cleared the most difficult part of their schedule. So I don't know how worried that should make everyone if they've performed, even if it doesn't look great on paper. I don't know. It is definitely a weird first place team right now.
They're in first place. So, you know, when we talk about, does this need to be fixed? Does this need to be fixed? The fan will say, yeah, but they're in first place. I mean, all of this, but they're in first place. I just don't know how sustainable it is specifically with the pitching. I mean, you've got Woodruff going tonight, and the last time that a Brewer starter went like 5 innings was Brandon Woodruff in his last turn. Chase Anderson seemingly has the worst start of his career and the best start of his career in one start. Zach Davies, it's really weird with him. Zach Davies has been good for the most part. Chacin, tough night last night. Jimmy Nelson, I don't know how long they're going to be able to do that experiment. And then you've got Gio and Corbin Burns and Freddie and all these other guys. It still seems to me like more patchwork, but they knew this coming in. This is almost their plan. Their plan is almost to have no plan, it seems. So I don't know, you know, how they address some of these issues other than these guys just performing better, which I don't have the confidence that they necessarily will.
Well, I wouldn't say have no plan. I mean, I agree with you that I think the plan was to cover this with depth. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It's can you do it with depth, or do you need these name guys at the top of your rotation in order to be a good championship caliber team? They think they had enough talent and a deep collection of talent that they could cover the innings they needed.
I just want guys to be able to go 6 innings in a start, which seems hard.
Well, but I mean, that's another thing that they've done. And I think that's a thing that all across, the Brewers are not the only team that don't have starters going 7 and 8 innings. that's what the game is now. So I don't think that's it either. I think it's, I think the what you sort of said at the top is the right, is are they just talented enough as a starting rotation to win the World Series? Because I think after getting to within a game of getting there last year, that's got to be the goal this year, to you know, be the best team in baseball. And Brandon Woodruff has been very good. He's taken a step forward. But I think coming into the year, you went with these three young starters. I think you hoped a couple of them stepped forward and were as good as they were down the stretch last year. And then you maybe got, you know, you expected more kind of steady performance from Jolie Chacin. You thought maybe Zach Davies was a bounce back. You hoped you got Jimmy Nelson as a big bounce back. There was a lot of upside to this group. Well, I don't know that a lot of that upside has you know, borne out in performance, because Chacin has not been good. Those three young starters, Woodruff has performed, but the others certainly have not. I think more has gone wrong than has gone right in that rotation. And that's why now the question is, do you need to go out and address that via trade? And, you know, I've been saying, guys, that I think it's more likely they get bullpen. As we get into July, it's easier to get number one. There's more guys available that can make an impact. It's what David Stearns has acquired over the last couple of years. But I think they certainly have to look very, very hard at getting a starter, because, you know, I think there is an argument to be made that just this collection of pitchers just is not good enough to win the World Series, and that they need to go out and get somebody to suck up some innings and add to that group. And I think I know they'll look to do it. I don't know if they will actually be able to do it.
So where is the organization right now on Jimmy Nelson, as he's made his first couple of starts here? How do they feel about this?
That number two was an improvement over number one, and that there are still a lot of questions to be answered. I mean, we went through this whole thing the other day, because look, if you just sit there and watch the game, or you miss the game and you look at the box score the next day, you'd say, oh, he hit a wall. In the Marlins game, it was the third inning where he walked a couple of guys and there was a double in there and then a grand slam. In the Giants game, he suddenly couldn't throw a strike. 12 to 13 pitches in the fifth inning, out of the zone, walks the bases loaded. The Giants wound up scoring three runs in the inning, and it changed the game, and the Brewers ended up losing. So it looks like he ran out of gas. But Jimmy Nelson and Craig Counsell both went to great lengths to say he did not run out of gas. That fatigue at the 60-pitch mark or whatever had nothing to do with it. It was a matter of just losing the strike zone. And when you lose the strike zone, you start to guide pitches because you're trying to get it back in the zone. And when you guide pitches, your velocity falls. And that's why it looked the way it did. So the results are not particularly encouraging against the two least potent offenses in baseball. And now he's going to draw the Cincinnati Reds at Miller Park. And that is going to be a tougher assignment on paper than the two that he has had so far. But he has the benefit of having two in the books. Now he's got, you know, Jimmy Nelson operates well when he's got kind of a chip on his shoulder. He certainly has that because he's frustrated about the way those two games turned against him. And they're going to hope for more improvement in start number three. And if he continues improving from start to start, you've got something there. But we're going to have to see how it looks against, a pretty good Reds offense on Thursday.
Talking with Adam McKelvey at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. He's joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll talk about the offense for a little bit as well, obviously, with the 2-0 score last night. They didn't really show up. And also, you want to talk about not showing up. Lorenzo Cain's on-base percentage is worse than Jesus Aguilar's. And for a guy in the leadoff spot, that's not very good. I don't have the stat on this, but it seems like most of Christian Yelich's home runs have been solo home runs, and Cain not really getting on base for Yelich. Craig Counsell always says lineups don't matter, but Lorenzo Cain in the leadoff spot, it seems to right now not be working. Would they look at putting somebody else there? Who possibly could they put there?
Well, it would be Gamble. I mean, when Gamble's in there, he's hit leadoff some, and then you put Kane in a different position in the order. The issue with Low Kane was chase, and that's something he didn't do last year. He was really good about commanding the strike zone as a hitter. He really was chasing more pitches early, but Council says their data says that's improved lately, that he is not expanding the zone as much as he was, and that they're expecting results to come based on that. It hasn't shown up in the numbers yet, and there is definitely some frustration. You guys know Lorenzo Cain's hard on himself. He'll sit there and sort of mutter to himself after a game, and he's got that sort of like that cranky demeanor, that cranky clubhouse demeanor that everybody loves about him. But, I mean, he's legitimately upset at himself for not performing up to his offensive standard. And you're right, the on-base is the right thing to look at because that is his sole goal when he goes up there. That started last year when the Brewers started making him a leadoff hitter in Kansas City. He was more middle-of-the-order type of guy. But he got up there and he wants to get on base because he says it and he's right about it that when he's on base and you got Christian Yelich and those other guys behind him, this offense goes. So he's not done it. I don't know that they're thinking about making changes necessarily. You guys know Craig Counsell is not a big believer in the power of the lineup. He just wants to get his best hitters the most at bats, and Lorenzo Cain has been one of their best hitters. He was last season, and he's trying to get back to that spot. So I don't know that he's thinking about making big changes there, but I definitely know that Lorenzo Cain is thinking and working really hard on ways to get back to the level of performance last year where he was on base all the time, and that played such a big role in what Yelich did, and really a big role in Yelich winning the MVP was Lorenzo Cain being a top 10 MVP player himself.
All right, well, I'm wondering if you're thinking that Cain is just going through a slump and that he has not seen his better days. I'm just hoping that this isn't like the beginning of him, his bat slowing down, fishing at bad pitches, like you were saying, that he's just going through a funk right now.
Well, that would be a pretty abrupt aging process if it goes from last year as great, one of his best years offensively. Definitely one of his best years getting on base of his career. For that to go away in one off season would be surprising. And he still does what he does for you defensively. Although there have been times lately defensively where he looks a little different. And I wonder whether, too, there's some lower body stuff going on that he deals with stuff that we never hear about because he fights his way in the lineup all the time. I think there's been periods this season, too, where he's been more banged up than we've known about. And that could contribute to it. I don't know. I would be, look, I mean, the aging process gets everybody, and you sign a player deep into his career to a long-term deal, you're going to have to deal with that at the end. I mean, people who are surprised about Ryan Braun not producing at the same level he did in his 20s, it always kind of makes me laugh. Like, if you sign a player to a $100 million contract, you're going to deal with a bad contract at the end of it. That's how it works. And Lorenzo Cain wasn't quite 100, but he was up there. And, look, there is the possibility at the end of his deal that you get a year, where it doesn't look good. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think that change would happen that quickly.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Travis Shaw, who comes up a couple of weeks ago, everybody gets mad because Keston Hira gets sent down. Travis Shaw, Shaw does still have an option to go in the minors, and when he's up here now, it's like he's starting two games and then not, and he's in a platoon, so they're not facing him against lefties. Is the reason that they don't send him down with that option and bring Hira up, is the reason more something from the baseball standpoint of, well, we want his at bats against righties up here, or is the reason, like, is it more personal? Is it, we don't want to do him dirty like that? Because I just feel like if it was a different player or a younger player or something like that, that a guy like this would get sent down to work out some of the things that Shaw can't do at the big league level.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they've sent players down. Arcia last year, Domingo Santana. I think they've shown that even established players, they're willing to send down if it's not happening offensively. And that certainly is a possibility going forward with Travis Shaw if he doesn't produce. Because you talk about him playing occasionally. I mean, the idea is to put him in the best situation to succeed. Then that's against right-handed pitchers. And for the large part, it's not happening. He had a nice day against Smarja on Sunday, a couple of hits, hit the ball hard a couple of times. But I think the thought was that he would be performing better after having that time in the minor leagues to get his head right, get his swing right, and come back up with some confidence. I'm not sure that the results have matched what the expectation was. And there is a point where, if the rest of the offense is going okay in terms of scoring runs, and I think they are, there's a point where you can do better at a position, you do it. And I think that point could come with Travis Shaw. And again, I don't know when that is. I can't tell you when they're going to make the decision to make a change again. They're giving him every opportunity in the best possible situations to succeed in this platoon. And it's on Travis Shaw to, start to drive the baseball a little bit more, or he could find himself on the wrong side of a roster move. But again, if I had a crystal ball and knew when, I would definitely not keep it to myself. It's a hard thing because they feel like this is a good player who can really help them, and they want to access that good player, and they're doing everything they can to make it happen. And at some point, you just have to say, look, it's not happening this year, and you go to somebody else.
If the Brewers are going to make a trade, they're going to obviously give up some their farm hands here. Is there a guy, other than, I don't think they'd be willing to part with Keston Hira, nor should they, but some of those other guys
might have to if they really want an ace.
That's going to be the really hard thing, guys, because look at what we've talked about today. The starting rotation's not good enough. Let's go out, get a big-time starting pitcher. Well, how do you get a big-time starting pitcher? You trade a big-time prospect. That's going to be a really hard thing for David Stearns, because if he goes and, says to the Indians, look, I'd like to talk about Trevor Bauer, and you're the Indians, who's the first guy you talk about? And if he says, no, I don't want to trade Keston Hira, then you say, well, I don't want to trade Trevor Bauer. It's going to be difficult for David Stearns to tilt those conversations away from, their clear top prospect. Because if you want to go get an impact player, Bauer, Bumgarner, look, Max Scherzer, I don't know. I saw his name in a story the other day. If you want to go out and get like somebody who really can make a difference in your rotation, you're going to have to give up a prospect who can really make a difference for another organization.
Okay, if you went out and traded for Scherzer, would the Washington be willing, I think, takes up some of that? That's $35 million a year. Is Washington willing to kick in something, or are they just saying, nope, you get Scherzer and his $35 million a year contract?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know that the Nationals are in a position to do that anyway. I don't know that they're going to trade some of their guys. That's just a name that I saw up there. And if you just think around the game about pitchers who are out there who could, be available in a trade and maybe, and make a big difference, I think that's one of the names at least you'd look at. But I don't know that the Nationals are going to actually trade him. But look, Bauer, I think Bauer's a good example. That's a guy that could be traded. That's a really good pitcher who could make a big difference for a team coming in. But to trade a really good player, you're going to want a really good player in return. And when you look at the Brewers farm system, it's Keston Hira. And then, there's a significant drop to what's next. I agree with what you said. Don't get me wrong and say I think the Brewers are going to trade Keston Hira. I think they really don't want to, because everybody can see how good he is. And I think he's pretty close to untouchable. But if you really want to go out and get a difference-making pitcher, that's certainly where the conversation's going to start.
Adam, appreciate it. We will see you at the park. You can follow Adam at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out his work, Brewers.com, MLB.com. We'll talk soon, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey again joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline here on...
Sounds like an aquarium.
A little bit of a bubble coming up from the fish trying to breathe
in our studio. The Keston Hira thing, very interesting, and I'd like to discuss that a little bit more with you, because who wants starting pitching more than anybody in the world? Me. Who wants the Brewers to go all in? Me. Who does not want to trade Keston Hira at any cost? Me. So it's going to be a little bit of a tug and war, I think, that I'm having with myself, and I think the Brewers are having it internally too, because they want to win a World Series, you would assume, but they also want to keep this guy in their system. We'll talk about that, 414-799-1250. If the Brewers, if now is the time to go quote-unquote all in, coming up next here on The Fan.
All right, the calendar says June. That means grilling out weather. You know, I do it 12 months a year, but I'm telling you, player, get out there and get some Robert Specialty Meats for all your grilling needs. Robert Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Yes, Paul Roberts, he's got lots of options to make dinner time the best time of the day. The hand-cut ribeyes, the T-bones, the porterhouses. How about the bacon-wrapped fillets, the USDA prime beef tenderloins. Had some of their half-pound beef brisket burgers over the weekend. Delicious. Saturday night, the Freeman household went out and golfed in this 50-degree temperatures, got home, threw the burgers on. Everybody's happy. And brats. The 8-year-old loves the just brats, the plain old brat with him. But they got over 30 varieties of sausages and brats, including the Al Capone sausage, man. You got to get in there for that. And if you've been to our golf outing, you'll know what that's all about, man. But their steaks, their hand-cut steaks are delicious, and their pork roast as well. You want to grill inside, or the Al Capone roast you can put on the grill outside as well. Paul will tell you how to cook that. The Al Capone Italian roast, combining several meats, cheeses, and seasonings into one awesome meal. And don't forget, whatever you do, when you go to Paul Roberts at Roberts Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha, you got to get yourself at least 3 or 4 pounds of, you guessed it, Robert's ribs on a stick. Man, those ribs with the zesty sauce that he puts on there, it melts in your mouth. As soon as it comes off the grill, man, your mouth will be watering. You carrying them back to your dinner table. My mouth waters just thinking about it right now. Stop off at Roberts today on the way home from work or anytime. They're open 7 days a week. Give them a call, 262-549-MEAT, to set aside some selections for you. Otherwise, just stop on in. Check them out. Got great customer service over there. Paul's there 24-7, I feel. Roberts Specialty Meats, Waukesha.com is their website. That's Roberts Specialty Meats, Waukesha.com. They got some money-saving coupons on there. But for all your grilling outs, the beef brisket burgers, the half-pound beef brisket burgers, I'm telling you, I can't say enough about those. Those are just amazing. The chicken, the hand-cut steaks, the ribs on a stick, it is all good. And 30 varieties of sausages and brats at one place. The one-stop shop, Robert Specialty Meats, south side of Waukesha on Sunset Drive. For all your grilling needs, it's Robert Specialty Meats in Waukesha, your hometown butcher.
I want to talk about Keston Hira coming up. Also, I need to complain like an old man, if you're okay with
sure.
that. I got a real old man complaint.
Okay.
There was this young whippersnapper really annoyed me yesterday when I went to get my dry cleaning.
Harvey?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, Harvey's
okay.
He's a princess in my eyes. All he right. can do no wrong.
Prince, you mean? Not princess.
Right. What did I say, princess?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk some Keston Hira and Bart Screams at Cloud next. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bill Michaels 10 to 2 today. Wendy's Big Show 2 to 6. We'll have the On Deck Show for you at 8 p.m. as the Brewers back out on the West Coast. Well, I have turned into an old man. Going to run that one by Freems here in a couple of minutes. I want to talk more about Keston Hira and what is possibly, well, for sure, the Brewers' best trade chip. And this is, I think, the problem when you have one prospect that stands out with all the rest. And I've talked about this before, and I still think that if the Brewers didn't have Keston Hira, it would be easier to make a trade. Because Keston Hira is above and beyond like Corey Ray or Urcig, right? Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah, he's the number one prospect.
Right, and the level between him and the next guys
yeah.
is vast enough yeah. that it's clear he's the number one prospect.
Because the thing that he's got going for him is if they wanted to trade him, teams look at him and say he can hit major league pitching. He's hit 5 home runs. Not that he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, but at least you know he's been up here and he can play at this level.
So let's say we're trading baseball cards, okay? and let's say that I've got a lot of cards that I like, but you have a Jordan rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Michael Jordan rookie really bad.
Okay.
And you have it. And you've got a lot of other good cards, and there's some cards of mine that you want, but you've got the Jordan rookie. So I'm so fixated on getting the Jordan rookie because it's the best card. And you say, well, the Jordan rookie's not available. And I'm saying, well, that's the one I want. Now, if you never had that Jordan rookie, mm-hmm. we might be able to work out a deal because you've got other cards I like. So I'll take five of those cards and then, you know, whatever. But you have the Jordan rookie. You've got something that's more valuable than the rest. And I think that is the problem when the Brewers have a guy like this, is that teams, when they're going to come to the table, they're going to want Keston Hira. It might be Keston Hira or bust. The Brewers can say, yeah, Corey Ray and Ursig and Zach Brown. But when you have a guy that is so wanted and such a top prospect, he's going to be the starting point for a lot of these teams. I don't know how the Brewers acquire a big name without having to include Keston Hira. And this is my problem because I want them to go in. And we're asking you guys, all in or sustain success? You can chime in on Facebook and Twitter right now at 105.7 FM The Fan, 414-799-1250.
I'll tell you this. If I had a chance to get Zach Greinke.
I'm just not training Keston Hira.
If I had a chance to get Zach Greinke, I'd give up Hira for him.
We're
talking about got a guy who's been a consistently good pitcher. Consistently good. Have another great year with Arizona on a bad team there. I mean, you're talking top of the line guy, a guy you could start multiple games in the postseason, a guy who's that game seven guy for you. We got some, he pitches well at Miller Park. Guys, some familiarity with this guy. You wouldn't give up Keston Hira for this guy, a future Hall of Famer who's still pitching well, Zach Greinke?
Zach Greinke fits the bill in a lot of things that I'm looking for.
Greinke. You want to win? Winksy, you want to win? You want to win? You want your top of the line guy? Give me Keston Hira, and you got Zach Greinke. How about that?
I think Keston Hira is going to be so good.
Yes, but when Greinke helped this team, top of the line guy, sure, he's making a lot of money. You know, I wonder if Arizona's got to kick some money in on that deal, much like I'm wondering about the Scherzer thing in Washington. But God, if I all things created equal, if I could get Greinke, it would take me a second to think about it.
I mean, I don't even know if I want to throw in Hira for Scherzer.
Either one.
I am so enamored with what I've read, what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
I think Keston Hira can be very, very good.
Well, you know, you talk about starting pitching.
I know. This is where I come to the tug of war with myself. Because I want
these are the guys, man.
The Brewers to go all in. I don't want to do sustained success model.
No, I don't want. I mean, if you're talking Marcus Stroman, no. If you're talking, certainly not Madison Bumgarner. Certainly not that.
What about the guy Adam brought up? Adam McKelvey?
No.
Trevor Bauer?
No.
Because Jim Bowden wrote a piece today about trade partners in the NL Central. And for the Brewers, it would be the Cleveland Indians, and their trade target would be Trevor Bauer. Now, Trevor Bauer is 28. His record this year is 4-6. He's got an ERA of 3.17. Last year, he was 12-6, 2.21 ERA. Finished sixth in the Cy Young voting in the American League. That's a good stat line. That's a good resume. Trevor Bauer is he would be the ace instantly on this team. Now, what it would probably cost, according to Jim, is Keston Hira.
Okay.
And so, in that case, even when you bring in a guy who's going to be the ace on the team, I don't want the Brewers to trade Keston.
But a guy who's been in the postseason before, like Greinke, that's what I want. A veteran like that. Trevor Bauer. Yeah, he is pretty good. But, I mean, we're talking Greinke, future Hall of Famer. That's the guy I'd give up Keston Hira for.
I'm exactly where I was at last year with
and
this
more.
Question. Do you want the Brewers to go all in, or do you want sustained success? And by sustained success, I mean they're going to be in a position to compete for the Central Division and to possibly make a run for the next 5 years, or would you rather them at some point throw their chips in the middle and say, this is the year we're going to go out and try to win the World Series? And what I said last year was, I will do whatever it takes to get a starting pitcher outside of trading Keston Hira. And because I'm saying that again this year, then I can believe
that I'm an all-in type of guy, but maybe I am a sustained success type of guy because I don't want to see them give up their top prospect because I think he's going to be good, so good for so
long. But, I mean, if sustained success doesn't mean going to the World Series and just winning division titles or getting to the postseason or competing or having a winning season, you know, that's not good enough. I think they were all in last year. I think they went all last year with what they gave up and signing Kane to that big, or 2 years ago signing Kane to that deal.
They went all in on the offense. They've yet to go all in on the pitching.
Last year they went in Kane, the last offseason.
I mean, getting, I keep wanting to say Takashi Saito. What was the guy's name last year?
Jake Arrieta?
No. Joaquin Soria.
Okay.
Getting Joaquin Soria isn't going all in on the pitching. Getting a guy like Jake Arrieta would be.
Yeah, well, here's Zach Greinke, my friend, sitting out there. You know, there's rumors that the Phillies are interested. Do you want him going to another National League contender, or do you want him to come to your team?
Well, that's why the Yankees traded for Encarnacion.
Yeah.
They traded him just so nobody else could get him.
Yeah, well.
And that lineup looks like Murderer's Row again.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And he's DHing.
They're getting him, Judge, and Stanton back in 1 week.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, the Yanks are back to spend the money, but I think this is the way you go. I think Greinke, you know, I'd look at that and say, man, okay, you know him, the ownership knows him, they liked him when he was here. Greinke liked being here. Okay, went for a bigger contract. They traded him, and then he signed with Arizona. But I would, that's the guy right there.
414-799-1250 Santo on the West Side. What's up, Santo? West Side.
Good morning, gentlemen. So let's talk, like, keep it 100 here. Hira is a really solid prospect. He's by far our number one. If I'm going to give that up, I need multiple years of control. And really, Trevor Bauer is not the guy because he signs a year-to-year deal. He refuses to sign multi-year contracts. So I'm not trading Hira for that guy for a half a year of service. I've been watching Hira become a borderline all-star at second base for Cleveland. The only guy I would trade him for is Stroman, and it's because we have multiple years to control with Stroman. And so if they came to me and if I could do Hira for Stroman straight up, I would probably do that deal. Because I think the one prospect everyone's forgetting about because he got hurt is Dubon, who is never going to have the power that a Hira does, but he is hitting over 300 right now in AAA. So he might be that, you know, Hira light, so to speak. He'll give you the average. He'll give you the contact. It's not the power. And I'm willing to make Dubon my number one prospect if it means I have Stroman for a year and a half.
Yeah, with Stroman, he's going to arbitration for one more year. I looked up here.
Yes, yeah. So you have the rest of this year, then you have one more year of arbitration. He's got like a 3.3 or 3.4 ERA pitching in the AL East, where every lineup in that division is pretty scary. So you figure he'd probably be closer to a 3 ERA in the National League. Plus, he has that funky delivery that I think NL hitters would take a while to get used to. And the guy is just a bulldog and a straight competitor. And I'm willing to go up here for something like that, but I'm not willing to go up here for a rental. It's just not worth it. I need that extra year of control. Because if these other hitters don't wake up this year, then it doesn't matter if we have Stroman. We're not going to make it to the World Series. So we have to think about next year as well. So I'll trade him for Stroman, but that's about it.
How about like a Greinke's contract? Next year
and
year after, $35 million a year. Jeez.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, again,
Arizona's not going to give us a bunch of money to cover that.
Well,
either.
I don't know.
That is some wishful thinking.
I don't know. I mean, who's going to take on $35 million a year?
The Bucks are going to have to give up a pick just to get rid of some of their contracts. These teams are not going to.
But we're talking $35 million.
They're not going to cover a ton of money.
We're not talking Tony Snell making $10 million. We're $35 million.
Right, and if it's going to cost the Bucks a pick to just give up a $10 million contract, you look over to baseball. They are not covering that. They are not covering that contract.
Well, not the whole thing.
Not even half.
Well, I'm looking for like maybe $15 million of it. $10 million of it.
I just think that's
$10 million of it.
That's wishful thinking.
$10 million, if you get them to cover $10 million, if you had to pay $25 million a year for Greinke for the next 2 years, I mean, again, that's another thing. Is Antanasio? Where's his budget at that?
You look at a team like the Florida Marlins, and if you're a Brewers fan, and we just played, well, it's Miami now, but we just played them, and that's a team that has two World Series titles because they built it up, tore it down, built it up, tore it down. Would you rather the Brewers be a franchise like that, or do you want them to be in play every single year? Because at the end of this all, who's got two World Series championships? The Marlins. Mm-hmm. Who's got zero? The Brewers. Well, I want to do the strategy that gets me a world title. I don't care if they win this year and then never win again.
Yeah, well, the Marlins.
I just want to see one.
After they won the title in 97 with that new, with that ownership there, they were so cheap, and they just said, we're not spending any more money. We want our championship. That was it. That was not a good signal.
But they got one.
They got one, yeah. And they had veterans on that team. They had that was a good, solid
team.
Don't
you just want one?
Of course. Of course, yes. I would. Yeah, if you could tell me I could be all in this year and be bad for the next 6 years, I'd be definitely down with that.
The Brewers have been around pretty much your entire life, correct?
Yeah, and been mediocre to bad most of my life.
And let's say you die at the age of 85.
Uh-huh.
And the Brewers in that time never win a title. What was the point? All that blood, sweat, and tears
I know.
That you put into the team.
Hey, I put in 50 years already into this team.
For what?
Got nothing. I put 50 years into this team watching them every night, and I've got nothing out of it.
Yeah, you should want them to go all in.
Well, of course I do.
This is what I told Tim Allen a couple weeks ago. Yeah. The Brewers hate old people. Not saying that you're old, but there are some people that are older that are never going to see the Brewers win a title. Because they won't go all in for them.
Well, they did last year, though. They did go all in.
They didn't go all in. Sure
they did. They went out and got guys. They traded the farm
Gio
system.
Getting Gio Gonzalez and Joaquin Soria is not going on.
But there's only so much. All in would be getting Greinke, all right, paying, or being in the market for Scherzer if he's available. And if they can't afford to pick up the $35 million, if they're not going to kick it in, then those teams aren't going to kick it in. Then what are we doing?
Speaking of old man, I had an old man moment yesterday at the dry cleaner.
Okay,
picking up some of my wife's pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy at the counter was paying like half attention. And then he turned and he had one of those AirPods in.
Okay.
So, you know, the headphones without the cord.
Sure.
So where this guy in the past would have never worn headphones like on the job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do that.
No.
You're on the job.
No.
And I saw this at the grocery store too. The guy bagging groceries had the AirPod in.
Well, I told you, I went to that Taco Bell in Port Washington, and then the girl there was, she had the headsets on completely, and she was taking my order.
Oh, she had headphones in?
Well, I told you that. She had the earbuds. Remember that?
With the wire?
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
yeah,
so this is the same thing.
I feel like that was enough of a faux pas that people won't do.
Yeah.
But now, because there's these headphones you can use, mm-hmm. and I haven't used them yet, but these headphones
the new
iPhones, you can use without a cord, now people can get away with it more.
So what happened here?
I thought it was rude. I got bad service.
Well, it's rude, period. Even if you got pristine service, the guy having listening to the tunes while you're trying to say, you know, you want to pick up a couple of pairs of slacks, that's not right.
Imagine if I got you in one ear during the show and then Death Cab for Cutie in the other. I mean, that's what these people are doing.
Yes. And when they say, huh?
Huh? Missing your orders?
Yeah.
Real old man moment, man.
No. That's not real old man. That's just trying to be in respect.
Well,
right,
kids
there.
These days can't even pay attention to their job.
Yeah, yeah. So could you hear? Did he have tunes going on while you're talking to him?
You can't hear the tunes. The AirPods are so good.
Okay.
Maybe he was listening to a podcast. Maybe he was listening to this show yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's like when someone's trying to talk to you. Like if I run into somebody and I got my headset on, even at the gym, I'll take them off because I don't want them thinking I'm listening to the music while this person's trying to talk to me.
Right. Yeah, you just
take
just
them
common,
off.
Common courtesy.
Yes, you run into somebody
and that's you on your personal time. That's not you on the clock.
Yeah, somebody running to you trying to talk to you. Take your headset. Okay, if it's millennials or anybody.
Yeah, millennials.
Take out the headset.
I'm going to enjoy getting old. I just love looking down on people younger than me.
Wow. Okay. I get accused of that.
Yeah, I can't wait to be old.
But is that an old issue, or is that just like, could that be anybody having the headset in their
I feel like any time I complain, I'm old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the very least, if you're on the clock, you shouldn't be listening to music while you're trying to perform your job.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. I do want to remind you guys about Harry's. Great deal that you can get with Harry's Razors. Hopefully, you hooked up your dad with some Harry's. There's still time to do that if you haven't. But how about hooking up yourself? You can get a razor that is comfortable, that works, that doesn't leave those blotchy blood spots all over your face. Get the razor blade that works. Get the quality. Put quality and affordability over anything else. I mean, what else is there? You want a razor blade that works, and you want a razor blade that you're not going to pay a ton of money for. Harry's has that combined. Special offer for you guys. You can get $5 off the Harry's Shave Set, and you can treat yourself or whoever, if you want to extend this deal further, you can treat yourself to the 5-blade razor, the weighted handle, the shave gel, and the travel cover when you go to harrys.com and use the code BART. Harrys.com, these are German-engineered blades. The guys that founded this company were having the same problems where they would go to the convenience store and buy razors there, and it would not be the comfortable shave that you would just be looking for. And then they kept seeing these razors up themselves in price, so they thought, well, that's better quality. No, they're just fancier designs these other companies did that would dupe you into paying more, even though the blade somehow in that process got worse. So get the good blade, German engineer. It does not cost a lot to re-up, just $2 for a restock, and it comes to your house, and it's very affordable, very easy. Again, get $5 off that shave set. You get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and the travel cover for $3 plus free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, code BART. And I won't work for a living. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, the fan, light hits of the 80s and 90s and today. Little Huey Lewis.
Oh, sorry, I was listening out some little, blacking out the friction. Excuse me.
You had your own thing going on.
What Sarah said.
Oh, Death Cab songs.
Listening a little bit of a lack of color.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. How about Tiny Vessels?
Tiny Vessels is really good, too. Give me a more upbeat one, though.
I Will Follow You Into the Dark. That sounds like a Dark Side song.
Yeah, that's... Well, no, it's one of their hits, but it's a little...
I'm just going to get to Brothers on the Hotel Bed.
You know, I like that one because it's about a couple that they are in love, but then it's like they're brothers in a hotel bed. Okay. You know how you sleep... Like, if you and I were to sleep in a bed, we'd be at, like, the furthest ends.
We're at the furthest ends staying in the same hotel room. On two different beds. We put the curtain in between us.
When like Chuck and I, Horvath, when Chuck and I were at this conference last year
in Atlanta,
there were two beds.
It was like 2 years ago.
And then there was just a little divider, like waist high. And then there was a pullout. And I slept on the pullout. There was an open bed where Chuck basically made his dresser. And then he slept on the bed next to the window just so he could be as far away as possible.
And then one of the members of the contingent left early, and Bart took his room.
Yeah, I took that guy's room.
So,
ASAP. Yeah. We play a little Huey Lewis because our question today, it's our Twitter Tuesday, what's your dream sports job? So your dream job in sports, that's pretty much the only requirement. It can be anything. You can tweet us at 105.7FM, the fan. Use the hashtag CWLunch. $20 to Perkins and Summerfest tickets. Freems, I have to think outside of this, your dream job in sports.
I would say doing college basketball play-by-play.
Oh.
I'd like to do that again, which you could also do in addition to this.
Sure.
Like I did on Green Bay. When I was in Green Bay, I did this morning show, and then I did UW Green Bay basketball play-by-play. I would love to do mid-major or college basketball somewhere.
Like travel with the team and be their guy?
Yeah, but you know, I want to be able to do the show and still do this job and all that, but I would like to do some – I'd like to do college basketball someday.
Horvath?
Dan Dockich actually does that. He has his own show.
Yeah, you want to be Dan Dockich.
Well, he does. Yeah, he's doing multiple games.
Chuck loves Dan Dockich.
I love Dan Dockich, yeah. I know. But he's an analyst. I'd like to do the play-by-play.
Oh, I got you. I would probably be an offensive coordinator. Just call the plays. Not all the pressure's on you, so if...
What if your coach wants to... You want to be...
I don't want to be the head coach. I just want to call the plays.
But you want to be an offensive coordinator that calls plays, because a lot of these offensive coordinators now are like...
Everybody just calls their own plays.
The sidekick.
Head coaches. Right, yeah. No, I just want to call the
Joe
plays.
Like Joe Philbin, who his job, if they'd play the Bears week one, his job was planning for the Vikings in week four.
Sure.
That week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be Joe Philbin, because outside of Green Bay or in Wisconsin, nobody knew who the hell he was when the Packers were winning. So if they were to fall in the playoffs, all the blame went to Rodgers and McCarthy. Joe Philbin.
But Philbin's not calling any plays, though. You want to be able to call the plays.
Well, right. He wasn't calling the plays because McCarthy had full control. Well, right. I'm trying to think of an offensive coordinator who actually, or a head coach who doesn't call his own plays anymore.
Zimmer.
Belichick probably doesn't call his own plays.
Zimmer hates offense.
Yeah, Zimmer in Minnesota.
Zimmer, if he had his way, he would coach both defenses in a given game.
So I guess I would be Josh McDaniels, pretty much.
Okay.
All right, that's a good one.
All right.
I would be the Brewers manager. I think being a manager would be fun.
All right.
I like to make those decisions. I like to fill out the lineup. I like to have the tough decisions about when to put in a pitcher, when not to. Now, I'm not saying I could do better than Craig.
Pinch hitters and double switches and all that.
I think Craig's doing a fantastic job this year. When we keep saying these Brewer problems, we talked about a lot of Brewer quote-unquote problems for a first-place team. Council's name has not come up, and that's a good thing because he's doing a good job with what he has. So I would say I think I would like to be a Brewers manager. Anna tweets in and says a sports broadcaster. Did you see the moment when Jim Nantz joined the U.S. Open coverage? Did you see that?
No, I saw him on I saw him with Mike Tirico on the Golf Channel the other day, but they threw a shout out on it. Joe Buck threw a shout out. So
Jim Nantz sat by him.
He eventually joined them.
They did a segment.
Because Joe Buck called him out and said, "Hey, Jim, if you're in the area, we'd love to have you on the broadcast."
Because Jim lives like right next
to
it.
That's what they said. That's what Buck says. So how'd that go?
Jim took over the segment, and Joe Buck just let him, and I thought it was cool.
Did the play-by-play?
No, they just had a conversation. Okay. No, he didn't do any play-by-play. Okay. They were talking about how much Jim loves the Open and loves the course. And how he named his kid after the middle name of some guy who used to do paintings of the course.
I saw there was a Tirico had Nance on from the Open when he was doing a segment from out there, and I thought it was outstanding. Those two guys going back and forth and telling golf stories and all that, it was fantastic. So I'd like to see that.
DJ tweets in and says his preferred job would be third base coach. All right. Ed Cedar the other day made a very aggressive send, and it paid off. And I checked Twitter instantly to see if anybody gave him, like...
Which one was that?
Yeah, kudos. When? It was last week.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been against Houston.
Okay.
It was a very aggressive send. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he tested somebody. Because Ed Cedar knows how these guys throw. Sure. That's part of what he does.
Yeah.
So the throw was also a little late, but the guy got in. And I went to Twitter to see if anybody was giving him kudos, and nobody.
No, nobody did.
They probably gave the base runner credit.
Yep, to the base runner. Nothing to Ed Cedar.
But if the guy would have got thrown out, Cedar would have got killed.
We should have Ed Cedar Appreciation Day next week.
We used to have it Mondays here on the fam.
Things are getting a little bit slower once NBA free agency dies down a little bit.
I don't know if that'd be a popular segment.
Why not? Actually, I just talked to Ed Cedar a couple weeks ago for the On Deck show.
Yeah. Did you?
We could play that off as live in
Cedar's
10 minutes.
Cedar's a good guy. I'm saying fans, for some reason, Bart just said there, you know, he gets no credit for the right moves he makes.
Well, it's a thankless job, and he's been there for so long, and we typically, as fans, get fatigued when guys are there for a long period of time. So guys like Craig Counsell, 4 or 5 years, at some point we'll get to the point where we're just tired of looking at him or hearing from him, even if he continues to do a good job. Fans just get fatigued.
Budenholzer will get the same thing.
Budenholzer will get... I mean, there were calls for... I think those have died down. The fire Bud calls.
Well, that was in the postseason.
Even though he got out-coached by...
Nurse Nick.
Everybody got out-coached by Nurse Nick, though.
So, terrible.
Canadian hero. Nick
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Talk more about the Brewers, if they should go all in or not. And a little more on the Milwaukee Bucks. Plus, we got to hear from O.J. Simpson's Twitter account at some point next hour. Weird. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.